implies in the New Testament that Jesus was often conversing with folks. He would talk to saints, and he talked to sinners. Aren't you glad of that? He talked to Jews, he talked to Gentiles. He talked to men, he talked to women. He talked to adults, and he talked to children. But I'm glad that one day Jesus talked to me. If he ever talks to you, it won't be a little talk with Jesus. He's not just chit-chatting, but it's a life-changing conversation. We're going to notice for a few moments this morning how he talks to Nathanael about a tree. Now, he'll always, in your life and in my life, talk to you about something you know, because he wants to talk to you about something you don't know. He'll talk to you about an experience that you've had, because he's going to talk to you about an experience you ain't had. He'll talk to you about something that's earthly, because he wants to talk to you about something that's heaven. He'll talk to you right where you're at, because he wants to get you to where he's at. He's talking to Nathanael about a tree because he wants to change his world. And we notice when we look at this fig tree, as we're going to read here in our text, as far as Nathanael is concerned, if all we ever knew about him was what the scripture said about where Jesus saw him, that'd be his world. That'd be it. All we would know was that he had a fig tree. That would be the extent of it. And of course, the Bible is filled with this matter of trees. There are some prominent trees, some precious trees, but no tree like Calvary. As a matter of fact, I'd say to you that if Jesus ever talks to you, somewhere along the line, he'll bring up a tree. Everybody gets the tree conversation, as was preached on here. But let's notice how he talks to him about this tree. I want us to focus on it as to the world in which we find Nathanael in the text. Of course, you can read in the Word of God about the fig tree. You could go back to Jeremiah chapter 24 or chapter 27. And Jeremiah, God compares the fig tree to Israel, the good figs and the bad figs. And I was thinking about what 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible said, "In Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree." The fig tree, of course, has been represented as the national tree as far as Israel is concerned. It's sort of like each state in the United States has its state bird and has its state tree, has its state flower. I was driving out through Kansas a few years ago and I realized what the state tree is out there. Do you know what it is? It's a telephone pole. That's about all you ever see. So this fig tree represents something of national pride. The fig tree represented a thing of a personal possession, because the scripture said every man shall dwell under his fig tree. I've been privileged to be in Israel and to see some of those fig trees. They grow bountifully there. It's kind of like the apple tree in the mountains of North Carolina. Any kind of a farmer that's worth his weight is going to have an apple tree, because they grow there. Maybe several different types of apple trees. And so it is here we find that Nathanael has this fig tree. It also seems to have an element of pleasure. It says he dwells under. his fig tree. And of course, I would think, as far as the fig tree, it's not a very large, maybe 15, 20 feet high. The dimensions of it's probably broader than the height is, and some pretty good leaves there. They didn't have air conditioning in that day, so if you wanted to get in a cool place, coolest place you'd get, probably get under a fig tree and reach up and grab you a fig every now and then. But I'm simply saying this is all we know about. This is where we find him in our text. And so the Lord seems to bring this to his attention. It's where he is found when Philip shows up. It's what Jesus says as far as when he saw him. It was where he's sitting. That was his world. And I want us to make comparisons and analogies to your world. I'm talking about where you're at. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your job. I'm talking about your church. I'm talking about your wife, your husband, your children, your situation, whatever it may be. I'm talking about your world. I'm talking about your tree. And so let's look at these verses, and I'll mention three things about Nathanael's. Jesus talking to Nathanael about a tree. Look at verse 43. The Bible said the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, no bitterness. Nathanael saith unto him, now Nathanael is captivated that Jesus knew him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. What has captivated him? Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He saith unto him, verily, verily, I say to you, ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I'm focusing on Nathanael's world. I'm thinking about this tree that Jesus brought to his attention. Three things that I would emphasize. Now, I want us to notice the point and place of where Nathanael is. He's under the tree. He's connected to the tree. Jesus brings that to his attention. And so I would say to you, first of all, that Nathanael's world or Nathanael's tree seems to have disconnected him from the world that was around him. It is very evident that there is a physical aspect to this tree, as far as Nathanael is concerned, that's where he's at. There is a mental aspect of it. From this tree, he judges other places. Why, he said there's nothing good that can come out of Nazareth. There seems to be this spiritual aspect in that he's disconnected from who is here and from what he's doing. Now, understand, I'm not condemning the tree. I'm not judging the tree. I'm not being harsh with Nathanael's world. I wouldn't do that with your world. Thank God that you have a family. Thank God that you have a wife. Thank God that you have a children. Thank God that you have a job. Thank God that you have a church. Thank God the Lord has, whatever your world consists of. I'm not discrediting that. But the thing that I am emphasizing is that for whatever this tree means to Nathaniel at this point in time, I think probably the most important time on earth. Because Christ, the Messiah, who has been promised, the one that every Jewish mother hoped that she would birth, that would become the Savior of the world, thank God he is finally here. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty of them that are bruised. Jesus is here. But the problem is, Nathaniel is there. I've got no problem with there. I've got no problem with the fig tree. But honey, if Jesus is here doing something, I don't know that you ought to be there doing nothing. He is at his fig tree and Jesus. I mean, here's what I want you to understand. Again, thank God for your world and for your tree and for all that God has given you. But what we've got to do is we've got to find out where he's at. And where he's at and what he's doing ought to have everything to do as to where you need to be and what you're doing. And there ought to be a time when you can sit under your fig tree, and there ought to be a time when you can enjoy the figs and all of those things. But I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus is breaking bread to feed the multitude, you ought to be carrying it. Somebody's got to. If Jesus is going to raise a dead man from the grave, you ought to be pushing the stone away. If Jesus is going to bring that dead man out of the grave, somebody's got to loose him and let him go. I'm simply saying to you is that the truth of what Christ, where Christ is and what Christ is doing is where we need to be and what we need to be doing. Let us not allow our world to realize that there is a big world beyond ours. Amen. And that there are great needs out there in that world. And sometimes we're going to have to step outside of our world. Sometimes we're going to have to find out what Christ wants us to do in this world. But it seems as though that for some reason he's not cognizant, he's not aware, he's not involved, he's just under his tree. It has disconnected him. Let us not allow our world to keep us from seeing and being involved in what is beyond our world. I'll give you a little illustration. Go to my second thought. I was pondering about a preacher down in Georgia. He said, Brother Dana, I witnessed to my father often, but he said I couldn't get through to him. And oftentimes it's harder to witness to your family than it is to anybody. But he said, my dad got sick and got in the hospital. And he said, during that time in the hospital, there was another gentleman, a preacher, an old man of God, Church of God, he found out, that was brought into the emergency room. And while they were stabilizing him, the only thing on his mind is that there was a room number he was supposed to be put in. And he kept telling me, he said, now, when you get done, put me in room such and such. And they thought maybe he was just disoriented or he was confused. And so after they got him stabilized, they just took him and they went to push him in just whatever room they had. And he saw the number of it and he said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to go in this room. I'm not. This is not the room that the Lord sent me over here to be put into. He aggravated him all that next day. The doctor came in and They said to that doctor, said, he's running us crazy. He said, what's wrong? He said, he wants to be in another room. He said, well, is there another bed open there? They said, yeah, there is. He said, well, go ahead and put him in there. I'll go in there and check on him. So they wheeled him into that room, got him all set up. Everybody went out, and as soon as they did, this preacher said there was a curtain between him and that old man of God. Said the old man of God reached and grabbed that curtain and spun her around. Said he looked at my daddy and he said, man, I don't know who you are. But he said, God has sent me over here to tell you that Jesus loved you and died for you and he wants to save you. Brother Wayne said, I got a telephone call. They said, it's urgent. You better get over here. He said, I went over there thinking there might be a tragedy. He said, I walked in, my daddy, tears were just flowing down. He said, Daddy, what's wrong? He said, I just got saved. He said, you just got saved. He said, I couldn't believe God would allow a man to get sick to send him to this hospital, into my room to tell me that he loved, Jesus loved me and died for me. I'm going to tell you, you can't do that unless you're willing to get out of your little world. You can read the text. I'm not going to amplify it. He just was not even aware of what was going on. Man, you're thinking about Jesus walking on water. Now, I don't know what all he had done till this time. I mean, casting out devils and raising the dead and feeding the multitudes and healing the sick. And he just picking figs. But the second thing I would say to you in that at this point in time, now again, I'm not against this fig tree. I'm just saying, I mean, at this point in time, the Son of God is here doing great and wonderful things. Don't you think maybe he ought to pull out from under the tree? But the second thing I want you to notice is not only does this fig tree that represents it, not only does it disconnect him from the world around him, but really as we read the text, it diminishes him to the world that is within him. In other words, as I said in the opening, if the scripture were to end as far as what we're told about him in this matter of being under the fig tree. Let's just say that was it. Jesus saw him under a fig tree. Philip went and talked to him under a fig tree. That would be the expanse of all that we knew about him, is that he was a man that had a fig tree. I mean, even if he had died, I mean, at his funeral, all you could talk about would be figs. I'm going to tell you, he had a fig tree. In other words, it would have narrowed down his world to basically... Now, I understand, I know there was more involved, but we don't know what else was involved in his world. We don't know if he had a wife. We don't know if he had a child. We don't know anything. We don't know anything beyond the fig tree. The thing that I want you to understand is that in this matter of a diminished world, in this matter of him under this fig tree, I understand it's a pretty good size tree, but it's a very small world. It is a cramped world. It is one in which it's only going to fit him and maybe his family, and that's going to be it. But of all the trees in the Bible that Jesus cursed, you'll only find one. He cursed the fig tree because it would not produce for him. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want my world to be so self-concentrated that it cannot produce anything for Christ. And that it's all about my preaching and it's all about my ministry and it's all about my tag and it's all about my family and it's all about my children. Get over it! That tree will do one or two things. It'll do two things is what it'll do. When all there is about you is what's going on in your own little world, and we all know this, what it's going to do is it's going to drive others crazy. because that's all you're going to talk about. Poor old Nathaniel, everywhere he goes, all he's got to talk about is figs. Now, I don't mind talking about figs, but sometimes you've got to put a period at that. And not everybody is as, they're not as focused on the fig tree as you are. You've got to understand that. Can you imagine him going down to the feed and seed store? And the only thing he's talking about when he gets down there, and the poor lady that has to wait on folks said, "Dude, you here comes you talk." He talked 50 minutes last time on them fig trees. Your poor wife having to listen to you talk about your ailments and your situations and your circumstances and your little world. Sometimes even we as preachers, I know we're making our people sick. They really don't want to hear those events because you don't want to hear them. And as a pastor of a Baptist church, I'm going to tell you, for 22 years, they just certain people I learned to dodge because I didn't want to talk about it anymore. Don't want to hurt your feelings, but not everybody's concerned about your world as you are. Now, they'll listen a little while, but after they realize that that's all there is, then that's all there is. The worst thing you could do is ask Nathaniel how he's doing. Oh, I'm doing good, man. Hey, I'll tell you, have you been by my house and seen my fig tree? I'm going to tell you that fig tree is producing figs like we've canned so many figs out of that fig. Fig. I'm telling you, that's all we know about it. That's all we would have ever known about him. If he'd have stayed under the fig tree, he'd have drove everybody else crazy. But not only would it drive others crazy, it'll drive you crazy. Because if all you've got's a fig tree, all you're going to worry about is the fig tree. Huh? You're going to drive everybody crying. And hear him saying, "Honey, I'm scared. I'm going to tell you, I don't think we got enough rain. The fig tree, the leaves are turning a little brown." Or he might have said, "I'll tell you one thing. I'm getting my slingshot, and I'm sitting out there under there tonight. I've counted my figs. There's three missing, and the neighbor's youngins are stealing figs off my tree, and I'm going to shoot them with a rock." Haven't you heard it? When you become so consumed with it that it drives others crazy and it drives you crazy because all you can think about is what's going on in your child's life, your son's life, your daughter's life, your family's life, your church, your ministry. It has so diminished him to the fact that he doesn't have room. When Philip comes to him and talks about the Messiah coming, which is a fulfillment of prophecy, there's no room under this tree for that. He can't even talk about it. There's no expression of faith here concerning the coming of the Lord. There's no room under that tree for that. He is diminished, he has been shrunk up, he has become nothing more than a fig tree. He has these limitations that are no more than the traditions of which he has been taught. Because when somebody comes and tells him something that he's never heard before, he hollers out and says, "I don't believe that. I don't even think anything good can come out of Nazareth." Well, where'd you hear that? I say to you that your world, he's talking to him about a tree because that tree, I'm going to tell you, has disconnected him from the world around him, but it's diminished him. That's all we know about him is the world that let not me and my four be all that there is to us. But I say that to bring you to my last thought, and it is this. What Jesus is interested in doing is delivering him from this tree so that he might be connected to a world beyond him. And this is where he broke the news to him This man that is all about a fig tree and all he ever sees and knows is about a fig tree. What does Jesus say to him? Look in verse number 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Whoa, you ain't never seen nothing like that. You know why? Because you can't see things like that under that tree. You know what he's telling him? He's telling him, I'm going to put you under the shadow of another tree. And that tree will reach far beyond your little world. That tree will reach around the world. And I'm going to tell you, from that tree, you can see heights and depths and distances and experiences that you would have never known in your little world. I want to get out of my world and operate in his world. But honey, you can't stretch your tree. You can't stretch your world. But honey, what you can do is you can swap trees and surrender your tree so that you can be under the operations of his tree. He ain't going to see angels ascending and descending under the fig tree, honey. He can't even see out from under it. Most interesting thing he can tell you is how many he picked and how long they were. Think about it. Now, when he's under his fig tree, the expanse of his knowledge of much else is not too great. So when he goes out, first thing he wants to do, talk about his work. Until Jesus pulls him out of there. Can you imagine the difference when he's there that day and watches Lazarus walk out of the grave? I doubt he's going to talk about figs on that day. He gets back to the house. There ain't going to be no fig story coming out of him. When he reaches up there and grabs that bread that nobody believes will be enough to feed the multitude. He knows they've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes and probably 25,000 people. Nobody believes it but Jesus until it's over with, and he's made a believer out of him. And can you see him when he goes home? He ain't talking about figs. He's talking about bread. He's talking about people coming from the dead. Which would you rather talk about? Angels ascending and descending, or figs falling off of trees? Huh? I mean, a maniac of Gadara clothed in his right mind after he cast the devil, honey. What do you think he talked about that night when he got to the house? If he ran into anybody, what do you think he's talking about? I want to be able to talk about heavenly things beyond my little system. Things that I know that God is doing, that heaven has opened and ascended and descended. Amen. I can see him going back to the feed and seed store after this. Honey, he's been in a different world. He's operating under a different tree. They said, Nathaniel, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing good. They said, well, how's your fig tree doing? He said, I don't know. I hadn't been by there in a while. I reckon it's doing okay. They said, well, what have you been into? They said, you got time? Let me tell you about dead men being raised. Let me tell you about those blind being able to see. Those that were deaf being able to hear. Let me tell you about angels ascending and angels descending. I love to get along with the saints and listen to them talk. And what I'm realizing is they've seen some things that this world can't show them because they're operating in a different world. You know, your grand youngins, you can sort of tell when you're hung up in your own world when folks try to avoid you. Your grand youngins just run right by you. Can you imagine if the fig tree's all he ever had, and he said, "Now, come here, Johnny, and sit on my lap. I'm going to tell you about the figs we had back in 92. That's probably the best crop we ever had. Matter of fact, I still got a picture of them. Look here, John. Where are you going, Johnny? Come back here. I'm going to show you about these. But come here, Susie. I'm going to tell you about them. They don't want to hear it. But could you imagine? Now I'm going to tell you, as an elderly man, if he lived and had some grand younguns, and they come in and they got their friends staying all night, and they say, "Grandpa, before you go to bed, could you tell us the story about Jesus walking on the water? You saw it." He said, "Honey, I'll tell you. We was out there in the middle of a storm. I'll tell you, the wind was a blowing. We thought we was a going under. And Jesus stood up and said, 'Peace be still,' and everything calm." They said, "Grandpa, tell them. They ain't heard it. Tell them about the one where he raised that man from the dead." Said, "Y'all got to go to your sleep, youngins. You got to go to bed." "No, Grandpa, please tell us one more time." They ain't never going to get tired of you talking about angels ascending and descending. You say, "How you know?" "Because, honey, it's been 2,000 years and we're still preaching about it. We still want to hear about how Ted dead rising up. We still want to hear about walking on the water. We still want to hear about something that's heavenly." I want to preach two funerals, both for the same man. He's laid out there. And let's just say the fig tree's all it ever was. Ain't you been to those funerals? They got no guile. Ain't got a whole lot of God. I was in a funeral like that just here recently. All they talked about is how he worked, he's faithful to his job. That's it. I looked around, everybody's bored. I was bored. And can you see everybody coming around? I'll tell you, he had the best figs of anybody in the community. I mean, that guy right there knew how to raise figs. Another guy comes around and said, "You know, man, I remember he gave me a jar of them figs one time." You can't go no further than that. Somewhere in your life, you ought to be able to show angels ascending and descending. Something that they know that had to be God. Anybody can raise things. But oh, preaching the funeral of the man that has been under the shadow of the cross is a different story. It's an easy funeral to preach. I can hear old John preaching that funeral. And he said, "I love this old man. Used to raise figs. Wasn't nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you, I remember him getting in with it when we was feeding the multitude. I remember him unwrapping Lazarus. I remember him pushing the soul away. I remember this old boy going with God." That's my grandpa up there. They said, "Yeah, he saw angels ascending and descending. You ought to have hung around him. You wouldn't have doubted it. I'll tell you what. I don't want to be a 10-cent preacher that all I've got's my little old system, my little old world, and my little old sermon somewhere along the line. I want to get beyond my world, get out of the shadow of the cross, so that when folks see me, they know I've seen angels ascending, descending." Songwriter had it right. Are you living in the shadow of the cross? And if you are, you got too much to talk about to worry about the fig tree. Now understand, I don't know. Matter of fact, I'm of the opinion that if you'd have walked by Nathaniel's house, that that fig tree was probably one of the most fruitful trees on the block. You say, why? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you'll make God's business your business, He'll make your business His business. And if you'll take care of His world, He'll take care of your world. He'll send the rain on it. He'll cause it to grow. He'll take care of those children. He'll take care of that wife and that husband. He'll take care of that family. He'll take care of that church. Just get caught up in what He's doing, and He'll take care of what needs to be done in your life. And all the same time, you can say, hallelujah, I've seen angels ascending and descending. To hear the stories. I mean, everywhere I go, as Jackie's involved in these prisons, I hear about angels ascending and descending behind those bars. And you know what? My ears perk up. I can't hear enough of that. Huh? Pastored for 22 years, and that was my, it was, God gave me that tree. Last church, 18 Hay, gave me that. And I enjoyed the figs. One day he come to me and he said, listen, I got a big world out there I'm operating in. I need you to come out from under this tree. I wrestled with that for 2 years. I told him no to start with. I don't recommend it. Here's what he'd at me. He said, if you'll come on, I'll show you angels ascending and descending. If you'll come on, I'll raise some dead. If you'll come on, I'll give you some stories that your grandyounguns will want to hear in your old age. I'll give you something to say. Grandpa, tell us again about that woman had the issue of blood. How'd that work? I'm not again our trees, thank God for them. But I'm going to tell you, there's a tree much bigger than yours and mine. It's under the shadow of that cross that you'll be able to touch folks in ways that you'll never be able to help with a fig. Angels. You say, preacher, why did you come here this way? I want to see angels ascending and descending. And I have. Let me get into this and I'll close. And you all could tell your stories, but I can remember one day I was had a lady in my church, Miss Smith was her name. She gotten so ill that she'd been in a coma for 2 weeks. Hadn't eaten anything. And she was up in age, and we all realized you got to die sometime. You can't live forever in this world. But have you ever had one of those things to where the Lord said, you know, I want to do one of those angel things? And I couldn't get over it. I mean, for a week, the Lord just kept telling me, it ain't time for her to go. It ain't time for her to go. I said, well, what are you telling me? I don't control that. And I'll tell you, and the people that were at the church that time, my wife, if she just passed away a few years ago, but she testified too about her. And I was walking down the hall one day, and her son, only son, her husband's dead, was standing at the door, and I heard the doctor with my own ears say, it was so odd, this is the reason why I remember, he said, now, if you know what funeral home you want to use, you need to go ahead and get a hold of them, because all the signs of life are gone. I turned and walked down, and the Holy Ghost said to me, it ain't time. I said, well, Lord, I'd like to see her live. He put it in my heart. I'm telling you the truth. And I said, I'd like to see her live. I said, but what you want me to do? He said, well, ask me. I said, Lord, okay, will you touch her and raise her up? I've got witnesses to this. She hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. The next morning, she's sitting on the side of her bed eating, with no apparatus on it at all. The doctor came in. He said, about passed out when I saw her over. I said, what's she doing eating? I said, well, she's hungry. On that day, she walked. You know how they like to wheel you out for insurance purposes? They didn't wheel her out. She walked out with the nurses standing. But not only did he heal her on that day, and she was a saved woman, he filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, for several years, everywhere she went, God would speak through her, and God would save and do a mighty work. You say, preacher, what happened? Angels ascended and descended. But you'll have to get out from under your tree.
Jordan, you come on around. Let's stand this morning. I know the Lord has given us a work. He's given us a vineyard. He's given us a place. And it is our responsibility to look after what He has given us. But I'm here to tell you, it's more than just your church or mine. It's more than just your ministry or mine. I read in Genesis chapter 49, and I just reread it a while ago, when Jacob was blessing his son Joseph. He said, Joseph is a fruitful ball. Even a fruitful ball whose branches reach over the wall. Because he's planted by a well. We've got to reach over to those who are without. Did you know there's a lot of people that are so busy with their fig tree? They don't have time for camp meeting. They don't have time for Bible conference. They don't have time for Jubilee. They're so wrapped up. And I understand we've all got our work to do. I understand that. But God has got a work for you to do outside your element and outside of mine. I don't fly very much to meetings. I do maybe 3 times a year. But about every time that I've flown, the Lord has put me beside somebody that needed to hear the gospel. I mean, it's not just about me preaching at Calvary Baptist Church on Sunday morning. It's not just about you attending the church and sitting in the pew. It's not about you going to your job and doing your work. God puts people in your life at the grocery store. He moves somebody in down below you. He's got somebody he wants you to talk to about what the Lord has done in your life. We got to get past our fig tree, and we got to get to His tree. Get to living underneath the shadow of the old rugged cross. What a message this morning. We don't like to get out of our comfort zones, our element where we feel we're on familiar ground. We don't like that. But sometimes God puts us in those places to prove He can do it, whether we're in our familiar place or we're not.